One afternoon, a man came home from work to find total mayhem in his house. His three children were outside, still in their pajamas, playing in the mud, with empty food boxes, wrappers thrown all around the front yard. The door of his wife's car was open, as was the front door to his house. Proceeding into the entry, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over, and the throw rug was weighted against across the one wall. In the front room, the TV was loudly blaring a cartoon channel, and the family room was strewn with toys and various items of clothing. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink. Breakfast food was spilled on the counter. Dog food was spilled on the floor. A broken glass lay under the table, and a small pile of sand was spread by the back door. He quickly headed upstairs, stepping over toys and more piles of clothes, looking for his wife. He was worried she may be ill or something serious had happened. He found her lounging in the bedroom, still curled in the bed, in her pajamas, reading a novel. She looked up at him, smiled, and asked how his day went. He looked at her, bewildered, and asked, "What happened here today?" She again smiled and answered, "You know, every day when you come home from work and ask me what in the world did I do today?" She answered, "Well, today I didn't do it." The impact of motherhood. The impact of motherhood. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 28. The book of Proverbs is a collection of wisdom that fathers and mothers were given to their children. Do you understand? It was common in a Jewish family for a father to teach his sons the truths of this book. And not only a father, but a mother, for on several occasions, Proverbs tells us not to forsake the instruction of your mother. This was basically the practical manual for living that Jewish parents taught their children. Not one of the very important things that children needed to learn was directed at young boys. Not one of the very important things to the children was directed at the young boys. And that was how to select a right woman. It's no mistake that the last chapter of Proverbs is showing us what the right woman should be like. The woman described here is of priceless value. She has physical strength, mental strength, moral strength, and spiritual strength. And above all, she loves God deeply and reverently. She is characterized in six different ways. Her character as a wife, her devotion as a homemaker, her generosity as a neighbor, and her influence as a teacher. Her effectiveness as a mother and her excellence as a person. The sum of all that makes up what we call this excellent wife. And we might add that this is no woman in particular, but this is a woman that every woman should seek to emulate, made only to God, or by God. We are going to look this morning at verses 28 through 31 and see a mother's responsibility and a mother's reward and what our responsibility is to her. In other words, we're going to ask ourselves three questions. Number one, concerning this motherhood. Number one, what characterizes a mother? Number two, what makes a mother? Number three, what honors a mother? So first of all, what characterizes a mother? In other words, what is a mother's responsibility? What is a woman's responsibility that we see? Solomon was tender and beloved in the sight of Bathsheba, his mother. And we realize these proverbs are all from Solomon, seeing where he's coming from. Bathsheba associated with and trusted God's servant Nathan to help him become the king of what God wanted him to be. So Solomon gives many characteristics of a mother in the book of Proverbs. Let me just list a few responsibility and characteristics of a mother, a woman. Number one, a mother is an instructor and a teacher. Proverbs 1:8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Proverbs 31:1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So a mother is an instructor and a teacher. Number two, a mother is tender, loving, and caring. Proverbs 4:3. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. You know, only a mother could love. Number three, a mother deserves to be obeyed. Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Number four, a mother is burdened. Proverbs 10:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness of his mother. A mother is burdened. A mother is a disciplinarian. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And then a mother is joyful. Hearken unto thy father, it says in Proverbs 23:22-25. That begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she's old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Great responsibilities. This was not something that I pulled out of the hat here. All I did this morning in these characteristics was read to you what? You tell me. What did I just read to you? God's Word. Would you say that has an authority to it? So ladies, mothers, that's your responsibility. And of course, all of these things that we'll look at this morning, really are a responsibility to mankind, all of His children, men, women, children alike, as we take and obey God's Word. So what makes a mother? Let me just give you a four-letter word that makes a mother that we think of. Love. A good definition of love is giving and not expecting anything else in return. Sacrificially. And so, for our brief time this morning, I'd like to suggest a few things. But under this, what makes a mother love, there's three things that I believe that we can see in Scripture that mothers love. And first of all, of course, if they need to what? Love your what? I hope you didn't say your husband first. I hope you didn't say your children first. I hope you said God first. For we need to love your heavenly Father. The Bible tells us that love is of God, for God is love, and we love God because He first loved us in 1 John. Mary proclaimed that from her heart at the acknowledgement of the announcement of Jesus, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. What is she doing? She's realizing I need to love my God, my Savior. And by that testimony, she realized she was a sinner and that she needed a Savior. And God sent His only begotten Son. Hannah said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, and mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There's none holy as the Lord, for there's none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Do you really believe there's no other God besides God this morning? Or are you ungodding God? Did you know every time we are independent of God, every time we make our own decision, did you know what you're doing? You're placing yourself as God. How many times do we do that? Well, that isn't important. Or I don't think that's important. And we have no scripture, and we realize that God, it would be best for us to do this in God's principle and truth. And what do? We're putting ourselves before God, and we're having another God before us. You see, the Pharisees asked the Lord, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And it also includes that thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or take the Lord's name in vain, which is a devotion of God manifesting reverence to Him and Him alone. And this really declares who we worship and how we worship. Paul says to the church at Corinth, let all your things be done with love, for love edifies. In 1 Corinthians 8:1 and 16:14. You see, who we devote our hearts to manifests who we love. We must love the Lord our God with all our hearts. You see, it says in verse 30 of Proverbs 31 that a woman that loves God fears God. For the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge and wisdom. So for a mother to be wise, she has to first of all love God by fearing her. She must have a continual conscious awareness and trust in the very presence and power of God, that she might have that wisdom, which is the ability to apply truth to our everyday situations according to God's word. One writer puts it this way, in a triangle. It says on one side and on the bottom of the triangle is the fear of the Lord, a reverence to Him. The other side is the love of God. And as you grow in that, there becomes the great desire, and then the middle of that whole triangle is devotion to God. Do you love God this morning? With all your hearts and all your souls? Mary chose the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. Luke chapter 10, verse 42. You see, a woman that thinks of God properly respects Him deeply and obeys Him wholeheartedly, for that's the manifestation of love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I love you, but... Well, wait a second. This is just a little more... You want me to do this? We must love the Lord with all our heart. And you know what that means to you, mother? That means that you need to be a Bible mom. As simply put, you love the Heavenly Father, you need to be a Bible mom. My mother was a wonderful example to me. She was a Bible mom in growing up, and even in her last years as she influenced me. Many of you know she lived with us 18 years after Dad died, and she was with us for 18 years, and you know she was here until 2015. I would go home at lunch. It was a special time. My adulthood, I would open the door, because in the morning before I'd leave to come over to the office, I would get her breakfast ready, whatever, and I'd have like two or three different menus that she would have, and I'd have it all ready for her. So when she came up, all she had to do is... Now, Brenda was in charge of making the coffee, though. I mean, she didn't want me to make the coffee. I wouldn't know how to do it if I tried anyways. I'd come in that room at lunch, and I'd knock, and there she is, Bible wide open. Because she'd get up late or different things, reading God's word. And towards the end, she couldn't remember certain things. So you know what she did? She got cards out. And she would write scripture verses on it so that she'd remember it, see it. Because she knew that she couldn't remember everything, and she couldn't, so she wanted to have these cards. And something, God blessed her, and so she'd take that and she'd write this. I couldn't read it, but she could. My mother was a Bible mom. Because that's what Scripture tells you to be. You need to be a Bible mom. Your kids need to know when they ask, what's the number one quality of your mom? It should be she loves the Lord with all her heart and all her soul. That she's a Bible mom. That Scripture means everything to her. And it needs to then be transferred to you. Children need to grow up in the Word of God. I told you many times, my father was a preacher, and he would travel. And this is not meaning anybody's spiritual thing, but as a lad growing up, he had his little Bible, his Bible next to him, and when he drove like this. One hand on the Bible and one on the wheel. I'm almost 70. I'm a few months away from 70. I still remember that. That influenced me. My parents were Bible parents. that meant the most to them. And by God's grace, we tried to do that to our children. And I'm married to a Bible mom because she got it from her mom. Folks, that's mother, that's a responsibility to love God. And you know what your next one is? To love your family. Titus chapter 2 verses 4 through 5 says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, so that the word of God be not blasphemed. Notice what the end of that says, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You love your husband. You love your children. Your husband, as you love him, you must have an unselfish, sacrificial devotion that makes them know him in the gates because you love them. Love him. John MacArthur said this. Her love for him is based, her husband, based upon such high spiritual principles that it doesn't fluctuate with the circumstances of life. The underlying virtue, there is selflessness. That's the underlying virtue. She is consumed with him and offers herself in loving service to fulfill that desire. You see, she loves the family and she loves her husband, and it's the love of her heart that puts delight in her work. She's not concerned about her own pleasure. She's concerned about the joy and delight of her family, which gives her joy and delight because she's consumed with love for them sacrificially. She makes their clothes and all they need and does so with joy. Love your husband. Love your family. Love God and then love your family. Love your children unselfishly, not living for yourself, training up that child, and when he's old, you won't depart from it. And so you love your God. You love your family. Remember what that also says when the Pharisees asked him? Love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second is what? Like unto it what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So guess what the third thing is, mothers? Responsibility is under this love. It's love others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I might live like thee. In lowliness of mind, in Philippians 2, the Bible says, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. So bear ye one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of love. So that's what a mother is. So who honors a mother? Look with me at verses 28 through 31 of Proverbs chapter 31. The Bible says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. What do I see here as far as a mother's reward here in that honoring? Well, I would suggest the same ones, I'd suggest the same truths of whom she loves will be her reward of being blessed. How? Well, notice what happens. What's the reward? Moms, don't you love it when your kids come and say, I love you, Mom. And they're not trying to get something. They're just coming to say, I love you. They come and they look up to you. In other words, the Bible here says, her children rise up. This word rise has the idea in the literal truth of the original language is a figurative rising up or a standing. The root came from connotating an action showing respect. Rose up. It showed respect for God. So what's the first thing that you'll be rewarded with? Your children will what? They'll respect you. You will be a Bible mom and love God with all your heart, and you raise them in the nourishment. Here's a responsibility for children: to respect their mother, to respect their parents. I'll never forget. I would have been in high school at this time. I think it was. Yeah, I've been in high school. Athletic afterwards, cleaning up. And a person said to me, I think it might have been my sophomore year in high school, if I remember right. But if that's not true, please understand, I am almost 70. So, I mean, I forget. But I said to me, so what does your old man do? And I turned to the person and said, I don't have an old man. He looked at me like my dad had died. And so he said, well, I'm sorry. And I turned to him and I said, I don't have an old man. I have a dad and a father, and he demands more respect than that, and I love him to pieces. Children, you need to respect your mom. Because what they will do to this virtuous woman, they will rise up and call her blessed. Not everyone has godly parents. But there's a respect there that has to be. There has to be respect. That respect doesn't mean condoning evil. But there is a respect. There's nowhere in Scripture that tells us that we only submit to someone if they deserve it. No, it tells us you submit. And so what's the first? The children, they're to rise up. They're to respect her and praise her. You know what would be great to have? Dads, you need to lead this because it's hard to moms do this, but you need to lead this. Have a time where you go and say, I want you to say however many things you love about your mother, you respect about your mother. That would be such a great love. You know, one of the joys, they rise up and they call her blessed. We commend her. Not only respect her, but children need to commend her. Desire to be her in a wishful way. There's two words in the Hebrew language that talk about this blessing. There's one, barach. It's used by God when he blesses somebody. But there's no instance where ashir is ever used of God's lips. And that's the other word for blessed. And that's the word that's used here. When one blessed God, the verb barach, never. One suggestion to explain this sharp distinction is found in the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament. Let me just give it to you. They undoubtedly tell it better than I would. But it says that this ashir, which is the word here, is reserved for man. It's this word that has the envious desire. To be envied with desire is the man who trusts in the Lord. God is not man, and therefore there is no grounds for aspiring to his state, even in a wishful way. God couldn't do that. Similarly, God does not envy man, neither desires something man is or has, which he has does, but would like to have. Therefore, God never pronounces man blessed. It should be pointed out that when barach is used, the initiative comes from God. God can bestow his blessing upon when man doesn't deserve it. On the other hand, to be blessed, ashir, man has to do something. In other words, it'd be the idea of congratulations. To be blessed, man has to do something. A blessed man, for example, is one who trusts in God with all his heart and all his soul. So what are we saying here? It's saying that the children need to rise up, respect, rising up. That the idea is, you respect your mother. You respect her and call her blessed, as she is a godly person. Notice the context here. It's talking about a virtuous woman. And when a woman is virtuous, this is what will happen. If this doesn't happen, then I'd look at yourself and say, what needs to change? There's something here wrong. Something needs to change. Because the Bible says that when there's a virtuous woman, when a woman is this way, this is what will happen. There might be exceptions, but not in the principle and the truth. One of the things my wife is so looking for this afternoon, they're doing something a little different, is because of our technology today, all four of the kids are going to, I would call it Zoom, but they're going to FaceTime with all their iPhones. I'm a Samsung man myself. I mean, but they're going to do this iPhone, and all of them are going to be able to be together. And you know what? She's really looking forward to that. I don't know. I might be looking forward to it more than that, just because I know they're going to call her blessed. Children, you need to rise up and call her blessed. Then notice it says about the husband. Her husband, it says her husband also, which is a parallelism in Proverbs. We have parallelisms, so you can add something or understand the thought here, and that is this. Her husband also, in other words, her husband also shall rise up and call her blessed. So what his husband means, he also will respect her. He will not put her down. He will only lift her up. In fact, you see that he praises her. This word praise has the root of it represents the giving off of light. In other words, that's who she is. Everyone can see it. So what is it that I call it? I call it, you know what, husbands, we need to do? We need to celebrate her. Not only respect her, but celebrate her. In other words, we need to be a cheerleader for our wives as mothers, for our wives, period. We need to be a cheerleader. And however you want to do that cheer, then you do it. And you make it big. Because one, that responsibility we have is the way you can honor your spouse, husbands, because of her excellency and her life and her love for God. She rises up, and a husband rises up and celebrates her. It has the idea of being clear, and he praises her. In other words, she's the greatest of all the noble women. And then notice what he says. He not only respects her, he not only celebrates her, but notice it says, he calls her, she says, thou excellest them all. You know where I go there? He adores her. I will admit, as a husband, I adore my wife. She's not a princess. She's the queen. And as I look at her, there's a reason that I adore her, because of her godliness. And she makes mistakes just like anybody else. And we all know that. But you know what Scripture tells us? This virtuous woman, the husband, will say, thou excellest them all. You'll come up, you'll bring up. In other words, one poet said this, God fits you for me, building your fullness to fit my hollowness, molding your strength to meet my weaknesses, tempering your gentleness to answer my hardness, creating your sensitivity to overcome my blindness, growing your spirituality to challenge my carnality. Seeing my need, God brought me to you. In you my heart trusts, of you my tongue boasts, for you my being yearns, through you my joy flows, because of you my soul sings, with you my future shines. We need to adore our wives, those mothers. We need to celebrate cheerleading. I like that one as much as any of them. I get to be a cheerleader. I get to tell people all about, rise her up as that light that she deserves from me and her and her children. Well, remember what the third thing is? Not only love your God, but of course, they rise up, call you blessed. But look at verses 30 and 31, we have that others. These two verses are a summary, really, and conclusion of it all. Charm and beauty are not bad. They simply are inadequate reasons to marry a girl. The young man should first seek a woman who fears the Lord, and whoever finds such a woman should make sure that her gifts and accomplishments do not go unappreciated, one commentary said. You know, as I look at my love for my wife, and as I look at her, and I can always compare my love as when I loved her when I married her. But in comparison today to that love when I married her, I'm wondering if I even liked her. Of course, you know I did, but I'm saying in comparison. And what that testimony really is talking about, a testimony. And so what do others do? They honor her. Because it says, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be what? Praised. Already covered the family. And so what it's talking about, should be praised of the kind of mother she is to all those around that she should love as she praises. It says, favor is deceitful. It's a falsehood. Beauty is vain. It fades away. But I'll even admit there, did you know my wife gets prettier to me as she even ages? I know you're not supposed to say that she ages. I understand that. But I just did, so. But to me, she's prettier when she was younger. And you know what? That prettiness can go another way too, can't it? When we don't act the way God would want us to. And all that is vain. It's that heart that is beautiful. It's that character, that's truth, that person that is beautiful. And so we're to honor her because beauty is vain. It's an inward devotion. It's faith and obedience that really marks human beauty. Notice it says it's vain. The basic meaning of this word vain or wind or breath, when you think of when a good way to maybe get some experience, example of it is when you, vanity or vain, when you, wintertime, you are outside and you breathe your vapor, your breath, you can see it, can't you? But then what happens to it? You see it right as it leaves, and then what happens? It vanishes. It's worthless. Another, depending on the context, another good word for vanity or vain is puzzling. It's puzzling. Life is puzzling. It's vanity. It's puzzling. Well, this works here and this works here, but it doesn't work then and it doesn't work here, and then this happens here and this happens here. And Solomon in Ecclesiastes is saying, man, all this is vanity. It's puzzling. But life without God is unsatisfying. And so we see simply that wonderful truth that we need to honor her. The others out honor her. And also they will award her. They will give her the fruit of her hands. The idea of give is translate different places of give, put or set, make or constitute. And then it says, will give her of the fruit of her hands, award her, resting from action, what she's actually doing. It has the old diagram, you can see it, the fruit of a tree in Scripture, the fruit of the womb, the fruit of consequences, which really that's what out of those three areas of fruit meaning. Here's really the meaning of it in this context. This fruit is being indicative of consequences that occur most frequently through, especially in Psalms and 11 times and in Proverbs 10 times. Proverbs refers to the fruit of one's speech or mouth. So what are we talking about? When it's the fruit of her hands is a sense of all of her achievements. There is a relationship between action and consequences that is between the seed and the plant. And so what do? We honor her. We award her because of her deeds. And then it says, let her own works praise her in the gates. Well, what I say here is recognize her. Recognize her. It's worth recognizing. And notice it says, recognize her in the gates. You've got to understand, and we don't have time to go, we could go through the Bible, all the different places where it's mentioned, where they come in front of the gates. But this is where a lot of things happened. A lot of things happened. Kings came. In fact, in 1 Kings 22:10, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting, each on his throne, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. Kings as well as city elders sat to administer justice at the gate. And it was considered an honor to sit among the elders at the gate. And notice what Scripture's saying here. Her fruit, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the what? Gates. It was really important. It was a big thing. It meant a lot to be in the gates there. And we are to recognize her and realize for that testimony who she is. I guess you could put it this way. She's the woman of the year if she gets to be at those gates. And so we see that we must ponder and the impact that countless mothers have made on their children throughout centuries. Mother's Day affords all of us opportunity to consider and express the impact our own mothers have made on us. It should remind us of how important motherhood is to our church and our society. I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. A cartoon in the Saturday Evening Post showed a 5 or 6-year-old boy talking on the telephone. Again, Saturday Evening Post, 5, 6-year-old boy talking on the telephone. Well, here's what he was saying. Mom is in the hospital. The twins and Roxy, Billy, Sally, the dog, and me, and Dad are all home alone. Did you get that? That's the impact of motherhood. That's the impact of motherhood. A home is lacking. A mother doesn't have that love, that responsibility of loving God. And if you don't love God, you're not going to love your wife, your husband and children the way you should. Did you know that by you not loving them, that's unnatural? And for children not to love their parents, that's unnatural. You see, the making of mother her responsibility. So moms, love God, love family, love others. Well, you see, I do. Do you really love with your whole heart? I mean, really? Do you realize what that sacrificial love is? Do you really love God? And it's going to start at loving God. Do you really love God with all your heart and all your soul? Then you will love your family correctly. You will love others. There'll be a difference about you. You'll be a Bible mom. And there will be that honoring of reward. So children, respect your mom and commend her. So husbands, respect your wife. Celebrate her. Be the best cheerleader you could be and adore her. So others, honor motherhood. Award motherhood and recognize motherhood. And mothers, make it so that you will be honored. Live so that you will be awarded. Live so that you will be recognized in the gate for your godliness. You see, this is the purposeful impact of motherhood upon society that God has ordained. A huge impact. For me, what's sad is we'll go through the average, and I'll have to say the churches that I've been at through the years, some big, some small. It's the women that seem to be Bible moms. And men that just, yeah, that's good for mom. That's good. Yeah. Men, we need to catch something here. Children, you need to catch something. There's not a difference between loving God, between what sex you are, or where your station is in life. You love God. And did you know what? All these things that God has shown us through Scripture will also be you. Be an impact in this world. Do not let this world tear down the family. Do not let them, first of all, tear down your God or the family. I will hear things say about this, and I will try to say it kindly. I said, no, just as I said, I don't have an old man. And when I tell people, and people will say something to me, recently something said something to me and says, so how long have you been married? And I say, well, this May, it's going to be 42 years, right? 42 years. And I don't care whether they're unsaved or not. I say, and I have a godly woman that wants to do right before God's eyes. I'm not going to let the world, because the world, Satan wants to tear the family down. He wants to tear the church down. He wants to tear the family down. And that all includes the children. And you and I need to be an impact with a Bible in our hand. And moms, thank you. Sort of the praise that I give is the same as I praise the Lord for, I prayed for them this morning too. I prayed for the nursery workers. No one ever sees them, but boy, they're going to get their reward in heaven like you've never seen. If they do it with the right spirit, of course. Well, moms, you have a responsibility. Let me ask you this. Do you want this kind of reward that Scripture gives us about moms? About women? You should. You have the Spirit of God in you. Then act like the excellent, the virtuous woman here. In the 31st chapter. Because it won't happen unless you're acting this way. God wants to make a huge sunbeam out of you because we're light in the world. Will you not impact it? Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for